A very good morning, one and all. Thank God for good weather. I like the kind of weather today. Very nice, not hot and cold, just nice. We don't have that every day, right? Today we are continuing our message on John, from John chapter 11, 17 to 54. Jesus, the resurrection and the life, part 2. We all know that John chapter 11 is the midpoint of the Gospel of John, and it is the peak of the Lord's ministry. Prior to this chapter, Jesus presented himself as a life giver to various people. You can find it in the Gospel of John, chapter 3 to Nicodemus, chapter 4 to the Samaritan woman, and so forth. And so today, we will learn that the Lord Jesus Christ gives life to a man who was dead. We all know that when Jesus was in Perea, Mary and Martha sent a note to him informing him of Lazarus' condition. Jesus did not respond to the call immediately. He delayed his coming until Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. So when Jesus arrived at Bethany, it was natural for Martha to be the first to meet Jesus and the disciple on their arrival. Why? Because Martha, being the elder sister, was the head of the household. She said to the Lord Jesus in verse 21, "Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not died." We all know the wait of the arrival of Jesus had been agonizing, and she wondering when the Lord will be here. Martha believed Jesus would be here. But the question is, when? When will he be here? Martha was confident if Jesus were here before the death of her brother, he would surely prevent his brother's death. Now the word that Martha uttered to the Lord Jesus Christ, "Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died." This seems to be a general comment by most believers, for death is the end of all hope of survival, right? When a person died and that's the end, no doctor can help to revive a dead person to life. And so this is a common belief by all the people. These words uttered by Martha seems to be a reproof or a blame on the Lord Jesus Christ for being late in his arrival. "If you were here earlier, my brother would live. Now it is too late." Too late. My friend, have you ever felt that way? "Where were you, my Lord? You came late. Where are you, my Lord? When my loved one died, you were not even present at the funeral. Where were you, Lord, when we really need you?" These are some of the questions that we always ask ourselves. That is what we feel, and when we are disappointed. When you're disappointed, you use the question, why this, why that? And not only that, you blame on other people. Please note carefully, the Lord Jesus did not rebuke Martha for what she had said. He allowed Martha to express her sorrow. He knew her feelings at this time and allowed her to pour out her sorrow. My friend, God wants us to pour out our sorrows to Him. And that is why He allowed Martha to express her sorrow. He did not reprove her. He accepted what she said. Now notice our Lord's response to Martha and her subsequent confession in verse 23. Jesus said to Martha, "Thy brother," what? "Shall rise again." In verse 24, Martha replied, "I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection." When? At the last day. At the last day. As if Martha was saying, "I know, my Lord, he will rise. Sure, he will rise. But at the last day, I believe it." But the question is this, but how about now? How about now? How do you know this was her response? All right, you want to ask, why is this so? This is not my words. All right, you look at verse 39. Her response in verse 39 shows that she did not believe Jesus could rise Lazarus from the dead now. From the dead now. Martha said to Jesus, I read the portion to you. Martha said to the Lord Jesus in verse 39b, "Lord, by this time he stink, for he had been dead for 4 days." He's already died. You talk about rise again, he's already dead. Martha believed that Lazarus' body was decaying. There was no hope for him to live again. And Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?" When Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life," Mary was thinking of the future resurrection, an event that would take place in the last days. That was her thought. He was thinking of the future. Jesus revealed to her that he is the resurrection and the life. He is not talking of an event that will happen at the last day. He was talking of a person, himself. Himself. "I am the resurrection." What does that mean? It means that I have the authority and the power to raise a person from the dead at any time. Not just the last day, but any time. I have the power. If you read Revelation chapter 1, verse 18b, you know that the Lord Jesus Christ holds the keys of hell and of death. Holding the key means what? A person who has authority. You look at those people who walk around with a key hanging there, you know, that person had the authority to go into so many places. Right? That is the power. Key means power. And so we see here, Jesus was telling Martha, "I have the authority and the power to raise a person from the dead at any time. Not just the last day, but any time." And he said, I'm the resurrection and the life. What does that mean? That means he's the source of life. He's the one who gave life. All the life comes from him. He created the world. So he has a power to give life. And that is the meaning that the Lord Jesus wants Martha to know. Whosoever lives and believes in me will never die spiritually and eternally. And that is those who believe in Jesus have eternal life now and forever. Lazarus had been a believer in Christ. And therefore, even though he is dead physically, he is alive spiritually. That is, every believer in Christ is spared from eternal death. Spared from eternal death. Christ did not promise the prevention of physical death. Lazarus one day would die, even he's rise again. All of us would die, generally. He promised the resurrection and the life, spiritual life. Martha's confession is found in 27. This is a good verse here. How he responded to the Lord Jesus Christ in this regard. He said, yeah, Lord. Yes, Lord. I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come to the world. This is a very, very important confession. Her confession was like Peter. Peter also uttered the same confession. I believe. In the Greek, it is the perfect tense. You know what is the perfect tense? The perfect tense, I have believed. The perfect tense indicates that her past belief was still very much alive in the present. He's still believing. Even though she found it difficult to believe that Jesus could raise Lazarus from the dead, at that moment, she still believed that Jesus was the Christ, the Messiah. The word Christ is referring to the Messiah, the Son of God who was to come into the world. The confession of Martha was also like Andrew. Martha confessed that Christ as the Messiah. Andrew also did the same. John chapter 1 verse 41. And also like Nathaniel, she confessed him as the Son of God. Chapter 1 verse 49. He was the one whose coming Moses and the prophet foretold in verse 45. And now the Lord Jesus Christ had come. Martha's confession shows that she was a believer, recognizing that Jesus was Christ, the Son of God. So Martha was a believer. Now while Martha was talking to Jesus, Mary was in the house. She has no idea of what had transpired between Martha and the Lord Jesus Christ outside the house. When Mary heard that Jesus had arrived, she went out to meet Jesus and was crying. And many neighbors who were following her were also crying. So you can imagine the whole house with all the people crying together. When Mary saw Jesus, she fell at his feet and saying, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. Eh? The same confession, same word like what Martha was saying. When Jesus observed all this emotion, in verse 33 tell us that he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. That is, he was deeply moved by both sisters' emotion, and was troubled, moved by all the crying, and he had taken their sorrow into his heart. I ask you, if you were in a place like this, where all the mourners were crying, yelling, how would you feel? How would you feel? I can tell you how I feel. I will cry. I will sure cry. I know my wife will also cry. Because the emotion is so intense. When you have all this sound, you will cry. And here in verse 34 and 35, Jesus said, he said, "Where have ye laid him?" They said unto him, "Lord, come and see." And then verse 35 is the shortest verse in the Bible. The shortest verse in the Bible. What is that? Jesus wept. Jesus wept. Jesus did not wail. He wept. Means the tears running down on the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. He did not cry like those mourners, yelling, shouting. Now the question now we ask, what made Jesus wept? Was it his love for Lazarus? Was it the presence of the sadness or and death? All the tears brought about by the faithless grief and emotion that he witnessed there? What do you think? What do you think? What is the answer? Well, if you read carefully in verse 36, you know that the Jews interpret that Jesus' tears as a sign of his great love for Lazarus. That was the interpretation of the Jews. But the Chinese also believe that. When a loved one died, must cry. The louder you cry shows that you love the deceased very much. Right or wrong? This is what many of the Chinese believe that, you know. And not only that, during the funeral day, the procession, they make it a big thing. They have musical band. Those of you who remember in the 50s, 60s, all these things will happen. 1950s, 60s. Musical band. And they sing, what kind of song? In the sweet by and by, Amazing Grace. They are not Christian, you know. They sing that kind of song. And some of them will play the pop song. Or of that period. Have you seen that before? And not only that, they have even something, no? Stake walker. They have stake walker and they make it a very big thing, and all the parade going on. And the mourner will come. You know why they do that? To attract the people to come out and have a look. Something is going on. And they will come, they'll pass by, and all of them, the mourners there will cry. And some of the loved ones couldn't cry. You know what did they do? Some put tiger balm on the eyes and make it cry. And some of them employ mourners, expert ladies, old ladies, were stuck up the emotion of the people to cry. And if that wouldn't work, you know what they do, the last thing they do? They pinch them. Cry, cry, cry. Show your love. That is what they believe. The Chinese believe and the Jews believe quite close. I do not know about this one, how they go about. But that's the way the Chinese did. My friend, That is only for show. The important time to show your love is when your loved one is still alive. Still alive. You show your love. That is a real thing. After that, it's all for show. After the funeral, what the Chinese people will do? You know what is that? How much did the deceased left behind? They fight for property, for money. So all that are for show. Many of them are doing that. I know, I witnessed a number of people. But the important thing, dear brother and sisters, the best time to show your love for a loved person, a loved one, is when he or she is still alive. Now at the tomb, in those days, the tomb is a cave, all right? It's not like what we have here, buried down. It's a cave. And there were 8 occupants, not just one, for 8 persons, usually for 8 persons. Perhaps it was located on a hillside, and Lazarus' tomb could have already been occupied by others' body from the previous year. It may be that way. And Jesus asked that the stone be rolled away. Now I can understand how Martha felt at this time when Jesus said, roll away the tombstone. In her mind would be full of questions. What question is that? Why again? Why? Why? With all the misery, why open the gravestone and let all the smell come out? Right? These are sometimes the people will have this kind of thinking. Why look at the face of Lazarus? She did not have any idea of what Jesus would do. She did not know. This may be in her mind. All right, look at verse 40 to 42. Jesus said unto her, say I not unto thee. That means, didn't I tell you? All right, didn't I tell you? That if thou believe, thou should see the glory of God. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. All right? And then we see that the stone roll away. The people come closer to have a look at the body of Lazarus. And there'll be other bodies there. The plow, the two sisters who had been weeping also stopped and have a sense of expectation. What would Jesus do at this time? They all do not have any idea. So they are thinking and waiting what will be next. Suddenly, the Lord Jesus cried out with a loud voice. What did Jesus say? Lazarus, come forth! Alright? That's why I say perhaps there were other bodies in the tomb. And Jesus had to call the name Lazarus, come forth. If Jesus said, come forth, then all of them will come out. It may be that way. I do not know. You see. So, Jesus called specifically of one person, and that was Lazarus. Actually, he did not have to shout, but he wanted everyone to hear, to see the miracles and also to witness the glory of God. And verse 44 said this, and he that was dead came forth. Oh, there's some noise, some reaction. And the crowd stared into the tomb, and they saw movement. They saw movement. They saw Lazarus' body stood up. Mary and Martha began to unwrap him. Then came joy in the hearts of all the people. The funeral had become a party of happy ending. Now, what is the perspective of life for the believers? As believers, we know that all our times of sorrow will eventually turn into joy. All of us, no matter what problem we have, one day it will turn into joy. How do we know? The Bible says so. All right? Revelation chapter 21, verse 4. Revelation chapter 21, verse 4 is a wonderful verse about fantastic future for all believers in Christ. All believers in Christ, I will say. Not for all, for all believers in Christ, truly believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And on that day, verse 4, Revelation 21, verse 4 say, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Wonderful, isn't it? Oh, amen. I like that. But how about now? How about now? We can wait and see what is going on in the world. Perhaps we may even discuss with others what the future is like. We can talk about it. In this case, I think of a case recently. We can talk about the future. One day, very recently, about 2 weeks ago, I think, I was at Coquitlam bus station. And usually you see a lot of Mormons, cults, you know. They will come and witness to you. In my past experience, I do not want to engage any conversation with any cults, Jehovah's Witnesses or what, because they will end up in argument. When they talk to you, the foremost thing in their mind is to win you to their faith. All right? That's the objective. And they are trained. They know what you is in your mind and know your answer. They are trained to counteract. So I do not want to engage this kind of profitless argument. So I tried to avoid. So as I stood at the bus stop, I saw two of them. And one of them came to me. What shall I do? And their approach are very full of manners. Hello, how are you? How's your day? Wonderful, right? I say, very good. Nice day, nice weather. Thank God I'm healthy and strong. Although I do not know about future, I do not know about tomorrow, but I know who holds my hand. I believe in God who holds my hand. So I'm very happy today. How about you? I asked him. And he smiled at me. Then he asked me, how can you be very sure that your future is bright? Oh, I know. The Bible tells me so. Jesus loved me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. And so the man wanted to talk to me more, but the bus came. So I said, sorry, next time that we can have conversation. Sometimes you can turn something into evangelistic
approach to the people, to witness to the people.
Oh, I met him the second time, and then we talked a little bit. Then, bit by bit, each time we met, we talked a little bit. So I hope, while we don't know about when will the future be, our happy time, meanwhile, keep witnessing for the Lord. You can choose, as a believer, we can choose to believe the Bible, like John chapter 11, number 2. If you are not a believer, you can choose to believe in believe the scripture like John chapter 11, or choose to believe with all your heart that God is control of everything. We all know that His delay are delays of love. Love and all things work together. All things work out well for the glory of God, especially for the believers. We believe that God understands us better than we understand ourselves, and He's able to turn our affliction and sorrow into joy. Believing Him will find peace and joy. What a wonderful perspective of life for all who believe in Jesus. And we find all the facts that I mentioned just now in John chapter 11. What is your perspective of life? Do you believe in Jesus? John chapter 11 verse 45 tells us that many of the Jews living nearby Jerusalem believe Jesus. They have their hope and bright future because Jesus is able to deliver what He had promised them, and He had the power to fulfill all His promises, as we can see in these miracles of raising Lazarus from the dead. So for believers, assurance from the Word of God is that we can trust what Jesus has said. However, in verse 47 to 57, we see that many religious leaders in the council of Sanhedrin wanted to kill Him. He's a good man. He's a Messiah. Came to this world to save them. And they have planned to kill the Lord Jesus Christ. Why did the Sanhedrin decide to kill the Lord Jesus? Now, this is very important because it prepares you the groundwork understanding of the triumphant entry. Because of the resurrection of Lazarus. When Jesus called Lazarus to come out, did he come out? Yes, he came out and completely wrapped in his grave clothes. There was no question that he was dead and had risen from the dead. There was no question about his death and his resurrection. Because of this miracle, many Jews who had come to visit Mary and Martha had witnessed the miracle. They have seen what Jesus did with their own eyes. They have put their faith in Jesus as a Messiah, which was the purpose of this miracle. The Lord performed this miracle with a purpose, and it was for the glory of God. Then, why did the Sanhedrin want to kill the Lord Jesus? Okay, number one, they fear. If they allow Jesus to continue his ministry, everyone will turn to him and believe in him. And then the Romans would take away their position and the nation, take away their political position. And this is mentioned in verse 48. All right? Verse 48 says, if we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him, and Romans shall come and take away both our praise and nation. Now, the word our praise here refers to what? Refers to their political privilege to take care of the Jewish affair. Alright? The two words refers to that. If they allow Jesus to continue his ministry, they will lose everything. Their political position. They will lose their power, their fame, everything. So in order to protect their privilege of ruling the nation, what did they do? They decided to kill the Lord Jesus Christ. Instead of coming to Jesus and worshiping him as the Messiah, which they had been waiting for many, many, many years. And now when Jesus came, they decided to kill him. For what reason? For their own benefit, material benefit. So each was their selfish interest. They were willing to kill the Messiah, the Son of God, for political and religious power. Their blessing of the world did not last very long. You know how long it lasts? 37 years only. About that, about 37 years. How do I know? In AD 70, the whole Jerusalem all were destroyed. The Roman rose up and destroyed all of them. And they had to run away to the cave to hide. That's why he had a Masada and all these things near the Dead Sea. They all went there. Those who refused to surrender, they all died there. And many of them died. So, for political gain, they are willing to kill the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus knew their plot against him. Therefore, he and his disciple withdrew to the region near the desert. Conclusion. There are three kinds of people in the story who either have seen or heard the miracles. All right. The first kind of people, the believers, those who were there, witness, they all, many of them, believe that the Lord Jesus Christ was the Messiah. Then the second group of people were the onlookers. They went there, have a look and see what is going on. Alright? And then they did not commit. There are many people who came to church like that. They came to church just to look and see what is going on. That's it. They did not commit. They did not believe at all from their hearts. And the third type of people, the enemy, the Sanhedrin. Why they did not believe? They were seeking for material gain. Material gain to them is very important, but more important than religion, than Christ, than the Messiah. And therefore, they plan to kill the Lord Jesus Christ. The question is this. Our perspective of life is very important. What is your perspective of life? Are you living just in this world, try to gain as much material wealth as possible, and put the spiritual thing, put God last in your priority of life? Are you there? If you are there, that is not what Christ wants us to be. Christ wants us to put him top priority. If you are unbelievers, dear friend, remember what the Lord Jesus Christ says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth In me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Do you believe this? You believe, you will be saved. May God help us as we have listened to this miracle. Not only just believe in our heart, with all our hearts, and the Lord will bless you.